Well, we're grateful that you're here, and we are continuing our series on the attributes of God. And tonight, we cover my all-time favorite attribute of God. Now, you might ask, is it okay to have a favorite attribute of God? Well, maybe I should be more simple. Is it okay to have a favorite? Well, I mean, I have a favorite sports team, right? And that would be actually a couple of them. That would be Ohio State, followed by Clemson, followed by the Gamecocks. And I know some of you real Clemson fans struggle with that because you're not big on the Gamecocks. But I do like the Gamecocks, and plus they're playing Notre Dame. And I am a former Catholic, so you know what I mean. That'll be a fun game to watch. So I have two, you know, things going on there. And I think it's okay to have a favorite team. You say, can it be bad to have a favorite? Yeah, mom and dad, don't have a favorite kid. Okay, I'm serious. Do not have a favorite child, all right? I've told my daughters many times, privately, I say, you are my favorite firstborn, you know, secondborn, thirdborn, or whatever. And don't mess your kid. You say, what if you have a favorite? You'll mess your kids up, okay? You say, I've already told them, just don't do it anymore, okay? Don't have a favorite parent, right? Just, okay. Is it okay to have a favorite attribute of God? I don't know, but I do. Okay? If you woke me up in the middle of the night and I was half asleep and out of it and not even sure what's going on and said, quick, God is, I would say, good. God is good. I that's just what I would say. You say, well, why? I don't even know why. Because he's good. And I think about that more than anything else related to God. And I'm covering these in the order that they're presented in Wayne Grudem's systematic theology, which is roughly consistent with John MacArthur's systematic theology. And I'm following those kind of together. Tonight, here's my favorite. We talk about God's goodness. God is good. Okay. You say, what is goodness? Well, let's take the definition. Goodness means God is the final standard of good, and all that God is and does is worthy of approval. God is, first of all, first point, God is the final standard of good. Because, guys, how do we decide what good is? You know, you might be, right? You might be watching the Gamecocks in the Notre Dame game, and the Gamecocks win, and you might say that's good, right? And all the nuns will be saying it's not good. All right. And there's different perspectives. Who is to decide what is good? You know, there might be a law that's a pro-abortion law in our country's filled with people who would say, oh, that law increases abortion access. That's good. And those of us who love babies and love the image of God and know our Bibles, we would say that's not good. So, see, good is kind of a rough thing because who decides? And that's why our first point is God is the final standard of good. He is the ultimate judge of what is good. So good is that which is worthy of approval, but by whom? And we begin thus with God is the ultimate judge. God is the one who ultimately decides what is good. And that's Luke chapter 18 and verse 19. No one is good except God alone. So someone has to set the standard. Someone has to say, this is good, this is not good. The person who does that is God. Number one, God is the final standard of good. But secondly, he's not only the final standard of goodness. Number two, God is good in who he is and in what he does. So who he is, that's his being. What he does, that's his activity. Those are his works. God is good in both of those. God is good in who he is. He's a good God. And in what he does, everything he does is good. Let me just show you a few verses related to that. Psalm 100, verse 5. And there's so many more. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now, if you say, how do you know the Lord is good? I'd say, because the Bible says he's good. And the Bible's true. So even if I don't feel like God is good, my feelings are not always based on reality. God's word is reality. And you know what? The Bible says the Lord is good. But he's not only just good in his being. Remember what we said? He is good not only in who He is, but also what He does. That's Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and you do good. So God is not only one who in His being is good, He is one who is in His activity is good. And you say, what would that activity include? So many things. I just picked what's maybe the most obvious. Creation. What happens after God creates what He creates? Genesis 1:31. God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything God made was good. God has never made anything that was not good. So God is a God who is good in who He is and in what He does. In fact, if you follow this logically, this makes sense. God is the number one, the standard of good. Number two, He is good and does good, which then means what? Number three, this unchangeably good God is the source of all that is good. Think of one thing good in your life. It comes from God. If you say, Greg, it doesn't come from God, then it's not good. If there is something good in your life, it comes from God. You say, how do you know that? Because it's what the Bible teaches. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift, and different ways to translate that. Some talk about every act of giving and every perfect gift. Maybe that's what's going on here. Is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You say, who's the Father of lights? The one who's created the lights, the one who's created the heavens, the stars, the moon. It's God. Every good thing in my life is from God. Everything. I can take no credit for anything good in my life. It's all a gift. And I know somebody might say, well, Greg, I think I'm a pretty good, I don't know, musician, and I'm good on a violin. Who gave you the fingers to play the violin? Right? Who gave you the cerebral cortex to allow you to learn those fingerings on your violin? Who gave you the lungs to breathe in the oxygen that allowed you to have the ability to play the violin? I mean, who gave you the ears, right? Who gave you the ears so that sound waves come into your ears and vibrate your tympanic membrane? I'm trying to get biology back here. And then it creates little hairs, little cilia in the, in the cochlea. Is that right? Cochlea? Thank you. C-O-C-H-L-E-A. I'm thinking in a book. Yeah. And basilar membrane. All right. John, I hope I'm doing okay here. And it sends neural activity, right? To your what? What lobe of the brain do we hear with, guys? Come on. What lobe of the brain hears? Not occipital, that's sight. What lobe? Temporal. Temporal lobe, that's where hearing takes place. So if you're good with the violin, and we have some good musicians here, that's a gift from God. Everything that is good is a gift from God. And you know why I love this verse so much? And it'll never change. With whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I mean, come on, you know what it's like on a sunny day. You're outside and your shadow is whatever on one side, and then you get to be about noon and your shadow is kind of gone, and then as the afternoon comes, your shadow is on the other side. And that shadow is always changing. And people always change, and life always changes, and God never changes, and He's good. And He has always been good, and He will always be good. And that will never change. I love this verse. Every good thing in my life comes down from the Father of lights. He's a good God. And everything that is good, He is the one who gives it. He's unchangeably good. Now, it'd be very easy to think, yeah, but how about all of the evil in the world? It's a good question. How about all the sin? Yeah, that's our fourth point. God works all things together for good. Now, this is true for His children, according to Romans 8:28. You say there's suffering in the world. There is suffering. There are things that happen that we don't like. That is true. And Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes all things. That includes suffering. That includes evil. To work together for good. Now, this is not for everyone, guys. to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You say, who is that just in a nutshell? That's a believer. In the epistles, the word called is synonymous with the Christian. No such thing in the Pauline epistles of one who is called who does not put faith in Christ. To be called is to be saved. Okay, in the Gospels it's different, not in the epistles. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, this verse is yours. Every single thing that happens in your life that is bad, and there's many things that are bad, God will use it for good. He works all things together for good. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells me. And the Bible's true. You know, obviously or not obvious, what's the greatest example of that? Well, if you want to ask me what's the greatest evil act that ever took place, I'm sure that many of us could say, well, if something bad happened to me and it was pretty evil, and I'm sure many people in here could do something like that. But I know of something worse than that. That would be the murder of Jesus. I mean, think about it. To take a person who never, ever, ever sinned and then to murder him. How could anything be worse than that? And what did God do? God took the murder of Jesus on a cross to pay the price of my salvation. The ultimate evil becomes the ultimate good because we have the ultimate God. And He is absolutely awesome. I love this doctrine. God works all things together for good. So we know that from Romans 8:28. And if you say, Greg, you know, you obviously feel this in a way that I don't. Well, I want you to feel it, and I would just invite you to taste Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see. The Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Taste and see. When I teach this in class, I always use the same illustration. I've used it here more than once, and I'm going to use it again just because it's my illustration. Years ago, we lived around the corner walking distance from McDonald's, and I would take the three daughters, and we'd go for a walk and buy our ice cream cones. And one day, we went to McDonald's to get ice cream cones, and the ice cream machine broke. And the manager handed me three. I said, four cones, please. And he was a student. And he gave me the three cones. I gave each of the girls a cone. And then he said, hey, Dr. Mazak, the machine just broke. And he said, can I, you know, give you something? He gave me a chocolate milk. I said, a chocolate shake would be great. He gave me a chocolate milkshake. So we sit down in the little McDonald's, little hard plastic seat things. And I got the two girls here. The youngest is on my lap. And the oldest says, Daddy, what are you drinking? And I said, a chocolate shake. And she said, I hate chocolate shakes. And I said, that's fine. And the middle girl said, Daddy, what are you drinking? And I said, a chocolate shake. She says, I hate chocolate shakes. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And then the youngest on my lap said, Daddy, what are you drinking? And I said, a chocolate shake. She said, can I have a sip? I handed her my chocolate shake. She took one sip. She handed me her ice cream cone. Okay. And ever since then, and she shared it, my girls have liked chocolate shakes. If a person says to me, I don't believe God is good, I'll just say, you know, I don't, it's not always the best thing to say. Here's what I think. You haven't tasted. I don't know what to say. You haven't tasted. If you said, I don't like chocolate shakes, and I don't want to push this too far, because maybe you don't like them, and that, you know, but most people like chocolate shakes. I would just say you haven't tasted. If you don't believe God is good, you haven't tasted. And I don't mean that to be mean, unkind, or anything. You don't know Him. You don't know Him. Okay? If you said to me, Greg, your mom is really, really mean, I would say, you know, you don't know her. You don't know her. My mom's one of the nicest people I know. And you say, nah, she's mean. Hey, you can say that all you want. You don't know her. If you knew my mom, you would say your mom is really, really nice, okay? And if you knew God, you would say He's good. And if you say I don't really think He's good, I would say taste. Because you taste and the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. So what's our last point? The God, He works all things together for good for His children. So we should praise and give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And that's, I have a verse here, Psalm 106, verse 1. It says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. God is a good God. here I am thinking about this, working on this, excited about this. I ran out to the store today. You know, nice day, sun's out, you know, kind of nice. And I'm pulling back in. I got a little project at home I'm working on. And I walk around the corner of the house and I notice water's running out underneath the wall. I'm thinking, that's not a blessing, you know? And I'm thinking, boy, there's something wrong. I go inside the house and I have water in my basement in a corner. And a pipe froze. I didn't know it. It was going into a spigot and it burst and it cracked. So what do you do? Well, I shut the water off. But I started thinking, God, you are so good. I mean, there are days where we don't go into our basement like for a week, you know? I mean, it could have been filled with water. I mean, we could have had fish swimming down there, you know? And yet it just warmed up enough where the ice melted, whatever. And I was able to get down there and it wasn't that bad. Again, it's a hassle, but at least I saw it. I'm on vacation. I had some time to clean it up. I was able to make the repair today and spend time doing that. And God is so good. God is so good. That it could have been something that would have not been seen. And then we could have just had all kinds of problems. But God in His goodness and His grace. You say, why did you walk around the house to even look in that area? I would just say, because God is good. Because God is good. And I'm so thankful for the goodness of God. It's my number one all-time favorite attribute. I hope you know why. Let's pray.